you are anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. We're going to get into some good things from the Word today. I'm just excited about the Word. Amen. Amen. And so I've got some good things, and you've got notes. Hopefully, we'll pray. And then, actually, is there anybody that did not get a set of notes when you came in with today's date, May 16th, 2010? We have Brother Ben. He's doing such a good job. We got Josh in the back because he was probably late. Whatever. No, I'm kidding. doesn't the worship team do a great job? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And, I don't know, it takes quite a gifting. I've seen it done, but it's rare to have somebody lead worship while they're playing drums. Amen. You got to be in good shape to do that. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word today. And Father God, I thank you for hungry hearts. I thank you for hearts ready to receive, that our hearts are like good ground, ready to receive the good seed of your word, Father God. It's going to be planted in our hearts. It's going to be nurtured and watered. It's going to set down deep roots, Father God, that we might bring forth fruitfulness in our lives. We thank you the enemy's power is broken, and he'll not hinder anyone from receiving the word of God today. And he'll not steal the word from anyone's heart, but it'll accomplish everything that you want it to, Father God. We thank you for attentive minds, sharp minds, and ready hearts, Father God. We thank you fatigue has got to go, and we've got the energy of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We believe you for it and thank you for it by faith. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Would you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6? We're going to skip some of the preliminaries, and we're going to get right down to where we want to go in Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'm going to just remind you of some things that we've been talking about. We've been on a series for quite some time concerning the prayer above all prayers, the greatest prayer of all time, as far as we know, as far as what is recorded in the Bible. John chapter 17 is Jesus is, as it's often referred to, high priestly prayer, his prayer that he prayed to the Father just a little bit before he went to the cross. And so these are important words. In this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, there is so much meat, there is so many things that the Holy Spirit wants us to know that Jesus prayed to our Heavenly Father, and therefore we are studying this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now we have come to a point in this 17th chapter where it talks about where Jesus prayed. I believe it's in verse 15 of John chapter 17. He prayed that the Father would keep his disciples. We are his disciples as well. Amen. That he would keep them from the evil one. And so for several weeks now, we've been talking about the evil one. We've been talking about our adversary. We've been talking about the devil, Satan. We've seen some of the various names that he has called in the Word of God. And we've looked at some of the tactics that he uses in order to defeat us. Because when Jesus prayed that prayer, am I talking too fast or are you doing okay? When Jesus prayed that prayer that the Father would keep them from the evil one, we could misunderstand and have this notion that we don't have to do a thing, that we're just going to lay back, God's going to protect us. But how many of you know that the whole of the Word of God tells us that one of the ways, the main way really, I think it's safe to say, that God keeps us from the evil one is by providing for us weaponry, if you will, ways in which that we might combat victoriously against the adversary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so by providing for us and showing us our position in Christ, and by showing us the enemy's position, which is under our feet, by showing us that and by us appropriating what the Word of God says by faith, then we are kept from the evil one, but we have a part to play. Are you understanding me here today? Amen. And so we've been dealing with this specifically lately in talking about the armor of God. And in the armor of God, we have looked at two pieces of armor so far, or has it been three? I'll go back and look. I think three. And then we're going to look at another one today called the shield of faith. But notice here as we begin reading here in Ephesians chapter 6, and it says beginning with verse 10. Everybody with me? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We talked about the strength that is provided for us that is in the Lord. Amen. In other words, in terms of the adversary, we don't depend upon our own strength. Thank God we can tap into the strength of God. Amen. And would you agree God is stronger than the adversary. Amen? Amen. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the craftiness, the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and that evil day is the day of temptation. That evil day is the day of trial. That evil day is the day of storms. Isn't that right? But notice what he says about any kind of evil day. He says this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And so when the evil day comes, you may be experiencing an evil day today in terms of temptation or trial or storms. But how many of you know that there is a power from on high? There is the strength of the Lord. There is the power of His might available to us to overcome and to stand in the midst of any evil day. Isn't that right? I'm sorry, I might be a little loud, but you know, you take a chance. You know, sometimes if you're not loud enough, people say, well, he was boring. And so you get too loud and say, he was too loud. I'd rather be too loud and not get you bored. Amen? Amen. All right. Anyway, going on with this. Now, notice now it says, verse 14, stand therefore, number one, having girded your waist with truth. Number two, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And number three, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we've looked, as I said, at three of these pieces of armor. The first one, as Paul is looking and examining the Roman soldier and seeing some things, the Holy Spirit is quickening some things to his mind and using a natural illustration in order to convey spiritual truth. How many of you know that Jesus did that many times as well, didn't he? He would use a natural illustration to convey a spiritual truth, even in the sense of the sower sowing the seed, for example. Amen? And you can think of a whole myriad of things that Jesus used in order to explain spiritual things, and Paul is following a good example. And so looking and observing the Roman soldier and the armory or the weaponry that he had, Paul, by the Spirit of God, had a quickening, and God began to show him that in a spiritual sense, you and I as believers also have a spiritual armor. It's not my armor, it's not your armor, but it is the armor of God. It's God's armor. Would you agree with me that if we got God's armor on, we can't lose? Are you convinced of that? It's God's armor. You can't lose if you're wearing God's armor, right? But yet we need to understand what that is. It's not some sort of an imagining thing where we're imagining putting on, the breastplate and putting on the waistband and putting on this and holding up an imaginary shield. No, there are spiritual principles about this. Now, the first one we talked about, having your waist girded with truth. And we talked about the fact that the waist or the loins are some of the most vulnerable areas of one's body. And so in applying this to our spiritual life, the first thing we need to do is recognize and acknowledge the vulnerable areas of our life, spiritually speaking, soulishly, all these things, and getting them girded or strengthened with truth, which is God's word. Amen? And we know and understand that an enemy is going to attack our weak areas before anything else. Any good enemy, if you will, is there such a thing? But any good opponent is going to at least know what the weaknesses are of their opponent, right? And usually attack those weak areas first. And so, in putting on the armor of God, acknowledge, recognize what your weaknesses are, because all of us have them, and get the truth, God's word, pertaining to those weaknesses, and get your life strengthened about that, right? And we talked about that. Then we talked about having on the breastplate of righteousness. We know that in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, it says this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And therein, or in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen? And so we understand that in the gospel of Christ, our righteousness in Christ is revealed. And so the second area of our armor and where we need to really strengthen ourselves after having recognized and acknowledged the weak areas of our life, the vulnerable vulnerable areas of our life and girded them with the truth, then we need to realize who we are and know that we are righteous in Christ, that he is our righteousness, amen, that he took our unrighteousness so that we could have his righteousness, because if our adversary cannot attack you in your vulnerable areas, the next thing he'll do is try to feel or get you feeling condemned and guilty instead of knowing and recognizing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, amen. And that means you're in right standing with him. That means that you're in right relationship with him, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, for you, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. Amen? Say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous in Christ. And again, it's not because of anything you've done other than exercise faith in what he has done, right? And then we saw last time, our shoes on, our shoes, if you will, our shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We talked about the Roman soldiers' killer shoes with spikes in them, 1 to 3 inches long. We talked about the idea of walking in the Word and being a doer of the Word of God, and how an important part of being one who is armored with the armor of God is to be a doer of God's Word, to be a walker in the Word of God. And we looked through the book of Ephesians. We saw so many times the word walk, by the way, is a key word in the book of Ephesians. It talks about walking in love, being an imitator of God and walking in love. It talks about walking circumspectly. It talks about, walking worthy of the calling, wherewith you've been called. So many times in the book of Ephesians alone, it talks about our walk. And as we walk the word, we have our shoes on, if you will, walking out the word of God, being a doer of the word, so that we do not deceive ourselves. Is everybody hearing me here today? Am I going too fast? I have to go fast. This is review. So review's fast, right? All right, let's go on then, and let's begin here today talking a little bit about the shield of faith. Notice now as we go on in Roman numeral number 3, the armor of God, it says this. We're going already to the armor of God, Roman numeral number 3. Notice it says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All right, now, the Roman soldier's shield. Are you ready for some just interesting things about the Roman soldier's shield? Are you doing all right? Now, I'm going to take a pause. Can you pause this for just a minute, Jeff? I forgot one.